Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
There's some stupid people in this world. We're going to talk about one just a little bit here as we continue the lightened up load, if you will, on Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. Shanto, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. You just realized Nancy Pelosi was stupid? I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that.
You know, what I'm looking at, there's a crawler up. It's just one of the monitors here in the Daily Defense Studios is on Fox, and it's New York threatens lawsuit over GOP tax cuts.
You know, man.
It's just amazing what these Dems will do, the level that they'll stoop to, as if somehow an act of Congress and a signature. This is the way our government is supposed to work. And the Dems will do anything they can. Now, keep in mind, this is a very high tax state. So here's what's getting ready to happen. They're getting ready to see a mass exodus from their state. It's always the Democrat-controlled states where the taxes are through the roof to support entitlement programs. And again, it goes back to the same thing. We live in high-tax areas like Chicago. Show me a city in decay, I'll show you a city controlled by Democrats. Just throw money at it, and it never solves a problem. We all know that. But it's about a power structure. So New York threatens to sue over GOP. Why? Why would New York threaten to sue? Because their taxes are outrageous, they're ridiculously inflated, and they know what's getting ready to happen. People are going to come to New York and say, look, we're done paying these high taxes. There's going to be a revolt. We're leaving, which is going to decrease their tax base. And it's going to force, because this is market forces that are going to go into effect, very similar to supply and demand, where the market is going to force these taxes. They're going to force the government to reduce these taxes. They're going to have to. And it's just astonishing to me what you see happening here, you know. But that wasn't the stupid people I was referring to. I was referring to stupid people who let strippers move in their house and get their guns ripped off. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Probably the dumbest idiot in all of 2017. We'll go there in just a minute, but with Mike Pawarski from the Arms Room. But before I do that, let me read another email. The email is still coming in from the quote-unquote Navy combat vet that I got a couple weeks back. You know, this was the guy that I said was the most sanctimonious, that sent me the most sanctimonious, self-righteous, elitist letter I'd ever received. And I mean that. Why? Well, because his letter was, I've seen more combat than you and your kids will ever see in your entire lifetime. So look, here's the deal. You got to take these letters. I don't know who the guy is. I've never met the guy. And I'm going to take him at his word. He's claiming to be a combat vet. I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to assume he's not lying to me. He's telling me the truth. And that's how we're going to approach the letter from that perspective. Whether he was lying to me or not really doesn't make any difference because it's still the same conversation. So we'll make the assumption that he's not. He went on to say that I don't have skills. And when he says me, he's talking about you, not just me. He's talking about all of us, individuals who carry concealed firearms. And he's using me as the conduit to get to you. Do you understand how that's played, right? And what he says to me is, he says, you don't have the skills, nor do you have the need to carry a firearm. I don't need to carry a firearm, and I don't have the skills. And, of course, he knows nothing about my level of training. And what I decide I need to do, frankly, is none of his or anybody else's business. None. And quite frankly, I don't have to go through $50 gazillion worth of courses to carry a firearm if I choose not to. I have a right to carry a firearm. This isn't about what he says I need. This is about what I determine I need. When I say that, I'm referring to us, again, in the collective. He's using me as a conduit to reference all of us. So it's a very sanctimonious letter, but I had a great exchange with the guy afterwards. We had some great emails back and forth, and it opened up a really, really big conversation on the program. And I got another email today from my good friend, Lieutenant Colonel Mike. Take a listen to this, and then we'll go to Mike and get some perspective on this, and we'll talk about the stupid guy who let the stripper move in and steal all his guns. And his wife was okay with it. I'm not kidding you. All right. Lieutenant Colonel Mike says, hi, Mark. I'm playing catch-up on my shows, and I've just listened to several from the week before Christmas where a self-described Navy combat vet read you the Riot Act about your two-way support and activism. Time doesn't permit me to write the full response that I feel this is due, but I'm compelled to point out the following. Number one, almost all of the combat vets I have known and served with, and particularly those from the Spec Ops community, are reluctant, Special Operations community, are reluctant to discuss their combat participation. None of them are braggadocios about their experiences or qualifications. The minute I start hearing somebody speaking loudly about all the combat they've seen and about how they're a highly trained warrior with superior skills to the rest of the populace, I become immediately skeptical about their CV. In my experience, People like these are more likely to have been rear echelon shoe clerks in the military, if they were military at all, than frontline combatants. Number two, assuming your writer is legit, his combat experience is worthy of our respect and thanks, but it's also completely irrelevant to a discussion about personal security. There is almost nothing that these two scenarios have in common, and his wartime experience on a foreign battlefield is inapplicable to any discussion of the use of force and self-defense here at home. We thank him for his service, but it does not qualify him as an expert on this subject and does not make his flawed views on the role of an armed citizenry legitimate or compelling. Number three, assuming your writer is legit, it seems that he has failed to understand the Constitution that he swore an oath to support and defend. The entirety of his military service was misspent if he has failed to understand that his sacrifices were designed to protect the rights and way of life of the American citizenry, which includes the natural right to self-defense recognized by our precious Second Amendment. Number four, your writer has a flawed and exaggerated view of police training, competency, and effectiveness, and places entirely too much faith in their ability to protect the citizenry from harm. He also fails to understand that the Supreme Court has relieved law enforcement from any legal obligation to provide protection to individual members of the public in several rulings. His faith in the police is heartwarming, but critically flawed and misplaced, and a poor prescription for society at large. I hope your coverage of this man's letter has given him time to pause and reflect on his own beliefs and the personal issues he is apparently struggling with. We respect his service, if it's legitimate, but thank him to take his flawed ideas and beliefs elsewhere. We know damn well what we need to do to protect ourselves, our families, and our communities, and don't need any input from the likes of him. Respectfully submitted, Lieutenant Colonel Mike. Let's go to Mike Paworski, coincidentally the same name. Mike, how you doing today?
Doing great, Mark. Doing good.
That summed it up, didn't it? Now, you heard the letter. I think we discussed it, did we not, together?
Yeah, we did. We did. And, you know, the colonel there makes an excellent point. You know, listen, Mark, we've known each other for years now, and, you know, I don't go on the radio and talk about it. It's not how I work. I'm a combat veteran. I'm a former law enforcement officer. And, you know, those experiences just shape my opinion. You know, it led me to where my beliefs are with the Second Amendment and everything else in my life. But it's not how I start out every conversation. I'm a combat vet, so you need to listen to me. I'll tell you why. Listen, here's my opinion on this, and you know, it's based on my past previous experiences and my previous you know, life that work that I've done. So to start off with, I'm a combat vet. You need to listen to me. I'm turning them off, and just like the good colonel said there, if you come at with I'm a combat vet, you know. Most people keep that kind of to themselves, and Navy's one of those weird ones where if you're a combat vet, you're usually special operations. But Mark, you may have been on a small boat for all I know, riding around in the Gulf, you know, during the war, and having been in a combat zone. I don't know, but you usually clarify that kind of stuff. Ambiguity is not what you're looking for when you say I want credibility as a combat veteran.
You know, I agree with you 100%. I know a lot of combat vets, some of the most humble guys I've ever met in my life. And I've talked to vets all the way from World War II up through Korea, Vietnam, very, very good personal friends of mine, colleagues that I worked with for many years, who were reluctant to talk about a lot of things, but eventually did as they got to know me a little bit better. And I've heard some amazing, incredible stories from these incredible people. But I'm gonna take a risk here, and I'm gonna play a little bit of devil's advocate. Here's why. Because this was not a conversation we were having. He was writing me an email to give me his perspective based on his life experiences, which included him being a combat vet. So I'm not going to begrudge him the fact that he told me that. I mean, here's a guy writing a talk radio host wanting to jump into the conversation to tell me his perspective based on that part of his life. Does that make sense, Mike?
No, you know, I've seen guys when we went overseas that started out perhaps anti-gun, and then after the end of a deployment, they become pro-gun because they see what it is to need one for basic self-protection and to have it denied by the government or rogue government forces. But I've never seen anybody go over pro-gun and come back anti-gun. It just doesn't work that way.
Well, that's not necessarily what I'm alluding to. What I'm alluding to is the fact that he's talking to me about being a combat vet, and Lieutenant Colonel Mike writes, you know, essentially what he's telling me is, you know, these guys are not a bunch of braggadocios. These guys don't come out here and start telling us that they're combat vets. And what I did, I'm giving this guy a pass because that was the basic premise of the formation of his opinion.
Right.
In
I'll
his opinion.
Yeah,
you see what I'm saying? Experience. So he was letting me know that was part of his background. Now, again, Look, I tell you, you know how many emails I get. Okay, some of them I can't read on the air. Some I wish I could read on the air. My gosh. But the bottom line is this: you got to take this letter, and I understand that you don't. Oh, I believe it because I saw it on the internet, or this guy sent me an email telling me that, you know, he was playing Spider-Man between the Twin Towers, saving lives. You know, you take what you get with a grain of salt in these emails. But what this did was, it really didn't matter whether this guy was telling me the truth or not, because it opened up a great conversation. You see what I'm talking about? I have no way of knowing whether he is. I took him at his word and opened up the conversation with it. And I thought what followed was great, just like this letter from Lieutenant Colonel Mike, which was outstanding, because it certainly put the rubber stamp on here to say, you know what? Boom, this is what I think about that. We'll be back with Mike Pawlowski right after that. Well, guys, it's that time again. How'd you like to head to the range tomorrow with a brand new gun? I know I would. Well, the USCCA wants to get more guns into the hands of more responsibly armed Americans just like you. So they're giving away a different gun every single day this week. Just go to armedandresponsible.com right now to get entered. And it's not just one gun. You could get up to 17 chances to win your gun daily. It could be a Kimber. It could be a Glock. Maybe a Springfield. All you have to do is go to armedandresponsible.com to reveal which gun you could be taking home tomorrow. But remember, there's not a lot of time. The gun of the day will always disappear at midnight. Hear me. The gun of the day will always disappear at midnight. And it all ends this Friday at midnight. Don't miss out. You could win a new gun every single day this week. Just go to armedandresponsible.com. That's armedandresponsible.com. Win the new gun. Visit armedandresponsible.com today. Don't miss this opportunity.
If you had to use your firearm to protect your loved ones, would you know what to expect in the aftermath? Imagine being thrown into a cop car in front of your family. Could you have said something differently? I've had these fears, and the USCCA has alleviated them with the 6 things you didn't know would happen when the police arrive. A free guide covering 6 big mistakes that could land you behind bars. For this free guide, visit BeTheirProtector.com. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
The USCCA Facebook page brings together nearly 2 million like-minded people, all of them interested in effective self-defense and the concealed carry lifestyle. Look for the official USCCA page on Facebook. Find the page, click the like button, and start learning all you can about becoming a responsibly armed American. And remember to share these great tips with all your other Facebook friends. The USCCA on Facebook, a great source for information on personal safety and so much more.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win 1 of 4 guns. Just go to oneofourguns.com. That's the number 1of4guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends, you can find every episode of Into the Fray at IntoTheFrayVideo.com. That's IntoTheFrayVideo.com.
Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
You know, we're going to talk about some bourbon today, too. Why? Because we can. It's the holidays. And I'll go there in a minute with my good friend Mike Pawarski from the Arms Room. But before I do, I got to tell you what's getting ready to end tomorrow night at midnight. This is a big deal, and a lot of you win these guns. I've heard from a number of you. Susie Wilkiewicz, for example, good friend, longtime listener to this program. She's probably listening right now. Susie, you know we love you. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. We're going to be out in Las Vegas at SHOT. Hope to see you. But Susie won one of the gun a days, the giveaways. But real people win these things, okay? I believe she won a rifle, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, I want you to be able to win one, too. You've only got until tomorrow night. It's important. The USCCA wants to get more guns into the hands of good people just like you, so they're giving away a gun a day throughout the rest of this week. Well, this week ends tomorrow night at midnight. So just go to armedandresponsible.com, armedandresponsible.com right now to get entered, okay? It's not just one gun. You could get up to 17 chances to win your daily gun. It could be anything, whatever's up on the site. And I don't know what's up on the site right now. For some reason, my monitor is not able to pull that up anymore, but we'll fix that in the new year. But it's, again, it's not just one gun. It could be a Kimber. It could be a Glock. It could maybe give, they're giving away seven guns. They do it all the time. All you have to do is go to armedandresponsible.com to reveal which gun you could be taking home tomorrow. There's not a lot of time. The gun of the day flips at midnight. It's going to happen tonight at midnight. This is going to be the last time it flips. So it all ends Friday at midnight. Don't miss out. You could win a new gun today. You could win one tomorrow. There's only 2 days left. Armedandresponsible.com, armedandresponsible.com. Mike, I guess I'll close that out again. I've really enjoyed getting the emails back and forth from the quote-unquote combat vet. We'll take him at his word for the email here. And sure, whether he is or wasn't, we'll just assume he was because it opened up the discussion, period. And there are people who do form their opinions based on that. Look, there's liberal vets, right? There's conservative vets.
Of course there are, yeah.
Okay, so people do different things for different reasons. And again, I don't begrudge him that. I really enjoyed the conversation. Did you want to, you know, Lieutenant Colonel Mike just stamped it. Whack, that's a great place to end it. Boom, he nailed it. And we did discuss everything in there. Now, he said, we corresponded, Lieutenant Colonel Mike and I did, a little bit today based on that email. And I said, hey, you know, in a subsequent email, he said, hey, you and Neil were way too soft on the guy. And I said, well, that's not true. You go back and listen to everything. Every point that he made was the same point I made in the conversation. Now, he said, no, you're right. You did. I just wouldn't have been as kind about it. Well, you know, I got a radio audience here I got to deal with. And there's no reason for me to get angry at the guy. As I said, he's entitled to his opinion. He's just wrong. And we made that clear here on the radio, I think. You want to go ahead and put your exclamation point on that before we move on to stupid people?
Yeah, absolutely. And bourbon? I think you and the Lieutenant Colonel Mike there said it just fine. It was the same way you said it, the same message. Yeah, this guy is wrong. Combat vet or not, thanks for your service if you are. If you're not, you know, shame on you. But you're wrong. Okay, let's move on.
Yeah, that's no. Hey, no food or drink in studio. No food or drink in studio. Hold on.
Are you drinking bourbon through a straw?
No. If I ever drink bourbon through a straw, put me somewhere. No, of course not. Good heavens. I don't. Good heavens. Jeez, I know some people who probably could, right, and some people who probably have. But no, that was a grande iced skinny caramel macchiato made with Breves with an extra shot and some whip from Starbucks. $6.19 for that. Put ice in it. I think I got about 8 ounces worth of coffee, and the rest was ice, but that's okay. It was a free gift card. Yeah, we're talking about stupid people. I know somebody out there is going, dude, you're talking about stupid people. What you just said is pretty stupid. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you, do you have a Prius in the garage or on the front of the house?
I don't have a Prius. Never will. Nope. You know, I got to admit, though, I think those Teslas are pretty cool cars. I'll go there.
Yeah.
My neighbor's
yeah,
got
absolutely.
One. I think those Teslas are pretty bomb. I want to schedule a drive with that.
They drive pretty good, I have to admit.
Yeah, well, I saw the one behind my house getting towed away the other day, so I'm not sure, you know, what that's all about.
You got to pay the bill.
My battery, yeah, there you go. That could be it right there. It could be paying the bill. All right. Mike, stupid people. Do stupid things, right? And as Forrest Gump, you know, always said, his mama always told him, stupid is as stupid does, right?
Yeah.
And as Sean likes to say, you can't fix stupid.
Okay.
So, well, wait till you hear this one. This one's just too good. And I like the headline, too, because it's really telling. And it screams, I'm an idiot. Man has gun stolen after letting stripper move in with him and his wife.
You know, I love this title. I love this title. This is my favorite story of the year, and this title makes everything. It's man has gun stolen. That's bad. After he lets stripper move in with him, okay, that's probably not a wise move.
Right.
His wife. You know, now, Mark, how do you pull that one off? How do you come home and go, listen, this is Mercedes, and, you know, she's the nursing student. She's looking for a place to stay. Would it be all right if she stayed here? How do you get the wife to say,
okay. Hold on. Let me start with this in today's political correct climate. Not all strippers are gun thieves. There's a lot of strippers out there, I'm sure, that are making a legitimate living, trying to do what they can to feed their kids, okay? That's you're not okay. Am I being okay with that, Mike?
I've got nothing against single mothers / nursing students / that are making a living. You know, that way. That's good for them. You know that they're able to do it. But
not that one.
How do you slip this past the wife? That's what I want.
Well, here we go. But this was in now. Oh, this is funny. Okay, an Indiana man, and if I'm not mistaken, it was Kokomo. Wasn't it?
Yes.
It should have been Kokomo, because this guy was a kook, man. An Indiana man who had over a dozen firearms worth roughly 10 grand stolen from him has an urgent message for gun owners. Don't let strippers in your house. Well, you know, that's not a very fair statement, is it? It's don't let this stripper in your house.
Yes. Yeah.
Right? Because we can't paint all strippers as gun thieves.
No.
This is an honest-to-God true story we're telling you here, ladies and gentlemen. This is honest-to-God truth. Bill Swaggerty. Now, why'd the guy give his name out?
Yeah. How do you put your name out? For this story? This guy does an interview also. There's sound clips of him saying all this stuff. This is not fake news, you know?
Bill Swaggerty said last winter, and what it should say, Bill Swaggerty, not real name. Yeah. He doesn't. I mean, it's a guy's right, only. Yeah. Bill Swaggerty said last winter a woman he knew slightly. Okay. See, I could just shred this.
Honey,
of course he knew her slightly because he only gave her fives. You know? What? This is so much fun. We're going to go back into this. Bill Swaggerty said last winter a woman he knew slightly appeared at his front door in Kokomo without a coat, asking if he had an extra bedroom. Well, first of all, of course he showed up without a coat. He's a stripper.
And it's in the winter. In the winter, shows up at the door, no coat, and her question is, hi, do you have a bedroom?
You can't make this stuff up, ladies and gentlemen. We're funning with this right now. I'm going to get back into it. Tell us it is fun, but you could have a lot of fun with this. But well, you can't make this stuff up. Bill Swaggerty. Tell me, Lord, that's a fake name. We'll be back after this.
Imagine you're walking through a parking lot at dusk. You're with your children. As you approach your car, you see a large man closing in. Something seems wrong. Something is wrong. You calmly move in front of your kids and turn towards the attacker. Your mind flashes back to everything you've learned. The man is now 30 feet away. You don't make a move yet, but you can feel the weight of your 9mm on your hip. You hear yourself confidently issue the command, "Stay back!" And then it happens. The attacker understands what only criminals can comprehend. He has picked the wrong target. He quickly turns around. "What's wrong?" says your child as you get in the car. "Nothing. Nothing's wrong, honey. Everything is fine." Get a gun and master its use. The Self-Defense Shield from the USCCA will help you understand gun safety and self-defense. The USCCA Self-Defense Shield gives you education, training, and a tenacious legal defense. It's your path to become a responsibly armed American. Discover how a gun and your family are the perfect fit. Visit freegunguide.com. That's freegunguide.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends, you can find every episode of Into the Fray at IntoTheFrayVideo.com. That's IntoTheFrayVideo.com.
Hi everybody, Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show. You know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
Picture this scenario. Two masked men break into your house. They're armed with weapons and a look of drug-fueled rage. To protect your family, you're forced to take matters into your own hands. You do what you have to. You pull the trigger. Minutes later, the police arrive and suddenly you're handcuffed and pushed into the back seat of a cop car. Pause there for a second. If this were to happen to you, would you know what to expect? Would you know exactly what to say to the police and what not to say? Would you know who to call? Every responsibly armed American needs to know the answer to those questions, because believe me, you don't want any surprises when the police arrive. Go to BeTheirProtector.com right now and get your copy of the USCCA's brand new free guide that'll reveal the 6 things you didn't know would happen when the police arrive. After a self-defense incident, knowing what to expect when the police show up can truly be the difference between freedom or a jail cell. Get your personal copy of this free guide right now at BeTheirProtector.com. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
Back to Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Okay, married gun owners, I hope you're paying careful attention to this. The advice from Billy Swaggerty is never let strippers move into your house. I'm talking with Mike Pawarski from the Arms Room Radio, and Shanto's jumping in on this because this is just too good. You know, one of the stupidest people from 2017, this has got to be it. This has got to be it. Mike, would you agree? I don't think I've seen anything dumber than this throughout the year.
You know, my favorite dumb guy, gun, whatever story it is of the year, this is it. This is my favorite story of the year.
Let's read some of this because it's so dopey. Now, again, I'm not picking on strippers. It's just part of the story. I'm just giving you part of the story here. You know, do what you want. I'm all about capitalism. You make your money however you make your money. If you make good money doing it, that's fine. That's fine. I don't have any problem with that whatsoever. I really, truly don't. Go. Do what you want to do. Billy Swaggerty said last winter, a woman he knew slightly, not enough to know she was a stripper apparently, appeared at his door, at his front door in Kokomo without a coat, asking if he had an extra bedroom. Despite his wife's objection, Swaggerty said, come on in. He said, and I put her in the bedroom with the safes, and it came back and bit me. The fact is she was a stripper is what we found out. We didn't know that she was a stripper. So what if she wasn't a stripper? Would it have been would that have made the decision any better, Mike?
I don't think it would have made the decision any better. This guy clearly did some things that you shouldn't do if you want to keep your property from getting stolen. But the fact that she's a stripper, I think just letting
it makes the story funnier is what it does.
Yeah. Well, does your wife let the stripper move in? You know, listen, if it's just some girl you meet on the street or some girl walking down the street and she doesn't have a coat and she needs a room, is there less sympathy because she's a stripper? I don't know, but
I think the stripper's
dynamic.
Swaggerty said ruefully, "Be careful who you tell. Keep it to yourself. Don't be bragging about how many guns you got. Be careful who you let into your house and make sure you buy a quality safe." And that's another thing. Don't let strippers in your house. As if stripper had something to do with this guy's idiocy. This is just an unbelievable story. It truly is. Now, Swaggerty, who has the name of the person suspected of buying the stolen guns, said sadly, "Word is that she went to her drug dealer and sold my guns for $450. My worst fear is one of my guns is going to kill a child." Well, okay. First of all, imagine the deal when she shows up at the door and he asks his wife, "Honey, I want to let this woman who just showed up at the door without a coat on move in with us." "How do you know her?" "Oh, I don't. I only know her slightly." What does that mean? "I've seen her around." If she's a stripper, where have you seen her? Right?
Oh, boy. Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, yeah.
So we could. This is just incredible. This is really incredible. But it's even funnier. The comments. I love reading the comments. Comment number one down at the bottom from a Garrett Horton says, "I can't believe that letting a random woman who showed up on your doorstep move in turned out to be a regrettable decision." Yeah, that's it, Billy Swaggerty. You simply needed a better safe. That's all.
He lists the guns he had stolen too. And if you read the list, it comes up to about maybe $1,000 worth of guns, two grand worth of guns. But he says in here it was $10,000 worth of guns. Or that's at least what he told the insurance company, I'm betting.
Something wrong with
this story. There's something way wrong with the story, not the least of which is this guy's got his name out there.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that Kokomo is not a really big place. I don't know. Is Kokomo a big place? I've actually never been to Kokomo, been to Indianapolis. Never been to Kokomo.
Nope,
I don't
never
know.
Been to Kokomo.
I bet Billy Swaggerty wishes he wasn't living in Kokomo anymore after this story broke.
Yeah, I don't think he would know the difference reading about this guy.
Good heavens. This was his plan. His wife wasn't. Okay. All right. This is just crazy. All right. Let's go to bourbon because it's more fun. And we can do that now because it's the holidays.
Maybe that's what happened. He drank too much bourbon.
Maybe bourbon was involved. Maybe excess bourbon was involved. Who knows? But the story is just one of those 2017 stories that you look back and you think, "What, did I really read that? Did that really happen? That was really," and that was on the Daily Wire too. So, I don't know. It came out in October. And, before you sent that to me, Mike, I don't think I covered this. I don't think I did. This nope. This is one of those goofy, funny stories. We had been all over. And, I don't know.
I sourced to this one. It definitely came out 3-4 different news sources out there. It's a legit story. It's not fake news. I wasn't worried about that part. But it kind of slipped under the radar. I'd have to look at other current events and see what was going on that week that we all kind of missed it back then.
Well, that story's about as dumb as Fox still going back to Karl Rove. For analysis on anything, all right?
Yeah.
That tells you what I think about Karl Rove. I just saw Karl Rove on one of the monitors, but I'll digress. I know Chantel hates that whole deal. He just can't believe that. But all right, let's talk a little bit about. We were doing some cooking with Bill Cannon last week. Some grilling while armed, which was wonderful. Gave out a bunch of recipes and stuff. Did you know you can cook with bourbon too, Mike?
Oh, I cook with bourbon all the time. I don't. You mean like, wait, you drink it while I'm cooking or?
No, that's where I wanted to go with you. Lots of people cook with bourbon, and they say, "Well, no, I've never cooked with bourbon." No, Mike's talking about having a glass of bourbon while he cooks dinner.
Do both.
That's cooking with bourbon. Cooking with bourbon in left hand and food in right hand.
Grilling while armed and cooking with bourbon. Those are two separate things, right?
Yes.
Chanto, you're a big foodie. Have you ever cooked with bourbon?
Oh, absolutely. I have one bottle for cooking, which usually has some kind of sweetness to it, and I have my regular bottle, and like last night, I had a little bit too much.
Well, how did you now? You're going to admit that on the radio. At least you admit that on the air.
Of course.
He ate too much.
That's unlike a Democrat who would blame the screwed-up recipe on someone else. Say that again, Mike.
I heard him say he ate too much. That's what I heard him say.
Is that what it was? Yeah, the Alka-Seltzer wasn't for the bad food. The Alka-Seltzer wasn't for the from the bourbon or the hangover. The Alka-Seltzer was from the food, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that how that works, Sean? All right. All right. Let's talk a little bit of bourbon. Holidays. Lots of people like to drink. I love bourbon. I do. Bourbon to a lot of people is an acquired taste. I love the nuance of bourbon in different bourbon. I love the history of it. I love where it comes from. I love how it's made. I love reading about it. I love knowing that, for example, you know, you hear Pappy Van Winkle, 23-year-old, probably widely regarded as best. That's subjective. Any, you know, some person might not like it just because it costs a lot. But a bottle of Pappy Van Winkle, 23-year-old, family reserve, is roughly retails around $2,500, Mike, for a 750 milliliter.
Yeah, that's a couple of pennies there.
Would you spend that much for a bottle of bourbon?
I don't think I would. I don't think I would. I think I'd go out and invest in lead and brass.
Yeah, there are certain things. I mean, I've actually had the honor, if you want to call it that. I had somebody buy me a glass of Pappy Van Winkle one time. It was about $250. Insane. I said, you don't have to do that. Guy said, no, it's okay, man. I've been listening to you for years. You've turned me on to all kinds of cool stuff. I've learned a lot. It's so cool to me. I want to do that. I said, well, if you're dumb enough to buy it, I'm smart enough to drink it.
There you go. Yeah. Not turning you down. You know, don't get me
not
wrong.
Turning you down. Ask me how it tasted.
How did it taste, Mark?
It tasted like bourbon. And if you had not told me that that was Pappy Van Winkle on a blind, I would have never known.
Okay.
Was it good? Yes. Can I taste the difference in certain types of bourbon? Yeah, of course you can. You can tell the difference between a glass of Jim Beam, for example, and a glass of Maker's Mark. A big, distinct difference between the two. There's a different bite. There's a different flavor. The Maker's Mark is aged 3 years longer, and you can tell these things. The Pappy Van Winkle was very, very smooth. It was very, very good. It had, to me, what I remember to be a vanilla type of finish to it. Would I ask me if I would spend $250 on it after I've tasted it, knowing I had it? Ask me that.
Mark, would you spend $250 on a shot of Pappy Van Winkle, knowing what it tastes like?
Absolutely not. I'd go out and buy a Remington 380.
There you go. Good for you. Good for you. All about the guns here.
But it was cool to know that that bourbon had probably been sitting on that shelf 3 to 4 years. Maybe longer, and before they got it, it had been sitting in a cask for 23 years.
Right.
So there's a very cool story behind it, right? Well, Mike, yeah. When we come back, I'll ask you what your favorite bourbon is, and then I'll give you my motto when it comes to bourbon, and then we'll move on to other topics, because we're taking it light on Armed American Radio's Daily Defense this week. Why not? It's the holidays. We can do that. We'll be right back.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.
Folks, you know that the USCCA protects responsible gun owners if we're ever forced to use our weapons in self-defense. Recently, a USCCA member witnessed his neighbor being assaulted in his front yard. He drew his weapon to stop the threat and was arrested, even though he never fired a shot. Would you know what to say to the police and what not to say if this happened to you? Visit BeThereProtector.com for the USCCA's free guide, The 6 Things You Didn't Know Would Happen When the Police Arrive. That's BeThereProtector.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends. You can find every episode of Into the Fray at IntoTheFrayVideo.com. That's IntoTheFrayVideo.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, usccaonair.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You, too, can win by simply visiting the website usccaonair.com. usccaonair.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting usccaonair.com. Don't miss out.
The USCCA Facebook page brings together nearly 2 million like-minded people, all of them interested in effective self-defense and the concealed carry lifestyle. Look for the official USCCA page on Facebook. Find the page, click the like button, and start learning all you can about becoming a responsibly armed American. And remember to share these great tips with all your other Facebook friends. The USCCA on Facebook, a great source for information on personal safety and so much more.
And now your host, Mark Walters.
Talking about that old Kentucky Chew today, right? That's that Kentucky Chew, that bourbon Kentucky Chew. I got a recipe for you for a bourbon glaze that you might want to use over New Year's. We'll go there in just a minute. That's what got us to talking about that. You know, we're talking about the fun drinkability of it, of course, but you can also cook with it. We were giving out some recipes, and I've got a good bourbon glaze recipe for you that's great on salmon. It's great on steaks. It's great on hams. All kinds of fun stuff you can do with it. Put it wherever you want. I'll do that in just a second. First, let me direct you back over for the last time today. And really, I'll only be doing this two more times after this because tomorrow it all ends. But over at armedandresponsible.com, the gun giveaway is in full swing. The gun will flip tonight at midnight, and then tomorrow night at midnight it will end. So make sure, please, to head over to armedandresponsible.com. The USCCA, the good fine folks at USCCA want to put a gun in your hands, in the hands of good people, just like you, just like me. And we know people who win these things. The odds are pretty strong. It's not like a lotto. Go over to armedandresponsible.com. Find out what's up there. You'll see all the information there. And good luck. Let me know how you make out. Armedandresponsible.com. Armedandresponsible.com. That's from the United States Concealed Carry Association. Mike Pawarski from Arms Room and Arms Room Radio. I got a great basic little bourbon glaze recipe for you, Mike. You ready for this?
Let's have it.
1 cup of bourbon whiskey, whatever flavor bourbon you like. You can go cheap stuff. You can go expensive stuff. It's entirely up to you. 1 cup bourbon whiskey. 1/2 cup of brown sugar. Goes great with the bourbon. 1 cup of ketchup. 2 teaspoons, as Bill in Texas says, Worcestershire sauce. Love that. My kids love when Bill's on. He's in Worcestershire. All right, so 1 cup of bourbon, 1/2 cup of brown sugar, 1 cup of ketchup, 2 teaspoons Worcestershire sauce, 1/4 cup of white vinegar, 1 tablespoon of lemon juice, 1/2 teaspoon minced garlic, and just a little pinch of dry mustard. Then you season it to taste, salt and pepper to taste. And tasting this stuff's the fun part. Taste it. If you think it needs a little more pepper, put a little more pepper in it. If you think it needs a little bit less pepper, just add a little more bourbon. Take it right back to the beginning. You can mess with the ingredients. That is fantastic. Mix them all up. It's all you got to do. Season with salt and pepper. You can use that to baste meat, chicken, salmon, anything you want. Goes great on a steak, goes great on a ham, and it's wonderful. And, of course, you got the sugar in there that caramelizes. Sean, do you want to jump in there before we move on? That's where I wanted to go with that. You did lots of great stuff with bourbon. Go ahead.
Yeah, I like it. I had to try that. That sounds nice. Cooking with that, I just think of a nice, thick ribeye steak.
Ooh, yeah, that would be good. There's a lot of different ways you can use that. Mike, did you want to jump in on that? You like to outdoor cook.
Yeah, I think now I'm hungry. I'm going to go home and do some cooking with bourbon.
Cook with bourbon. Yeah, so pour a glass. Little, you know, however you like it. I forget what the guy's name was. He was one of the original seven distillers. He passed away recently, three years ago. I forget his name, of Jim Beam. And he used to say, yeah, I like my bourbon just a little bit icer and neat. A little bit of that Kentucky Chew, you know, let it get all around your mouth. And just eat that Kentucky Chew. He said, that's why I like mine, but you enjoy yours however you like it. And that was just fantastic because he said, just enjoy it the way you like it. Now, here's my take on bourbon. No bourbon should be under 87 proof. I'm sorry. Jim Beam lovers, I know, because it's about 80 proof. 87 to 90 north for a good bourbon, I think, to me is a little bit. It's better for cooking. It's better for tasting. I don't know. It's just my opinion. Mike, you want to mention anything about that?
I'm kind of a fan of a couple different ones, and they're all, you know, obviously Kentucky bourbons. But Maker's Mark, I remember well from when I was stationed at Fort Knox. We used to go down there. It's about a 45-minute ride down there to Loretto.
And Loretto, yeah.
Yeah, you would bring in whatever you had. If you had a 2-liter bottle, if you had a canteen cup, or a canteen, whatever we had. If you walked in there with your military ID and you walked in there with a container, they would fill it with Maker's Mark, put a wax seal on it, shake your hand, and have it tell you have a good day.
Ooh.
Yeah, see, that's great. And there's truth to this. I wish we had time to go into the history of this. It's really fun stuff. All bourbon is whiskey, but not all whiskey is bourbon. And we simply don't have enough time. What makes bourbon? It's corn. It's 51%. Okay, Jack Daniels is not bourbon. Jack Daniels is Tennessee whiskey. There's a big difference between the two, and there are laws. These are federal laws in place that distinguish this. The history of bourbon making in the United States is quite a colorful story. And as you were just talking about Loretto, Kentucky, these are beautiful places up there. These are old, historic American landmarks that date back a very, very long time. So, you know, it goes back hundreds of years. Quite the fascinating story. So enjoy your bourbon. Sipping it, cooking with it over the holiday season. It doesn't have to be the holiday season. You don't have to stop. It's just like saying I can only use my grill between Memorial Day and Labor Day. Come on, give me a break. I got pictures of myself when I was in college grilling in the snow. So, yeah, Mike, that's I'm with you. And I happen to know you drink that. It's the old Doc Holliday. You used to drink old Overholt, yeah. Right, which you have a bottle of.
Yeah, the old Overholt, Everholt, Overholt. And – yeah, I think we discovered that when we were out in Tombstone.
That's right.
This was the bourbon. This is what they drank. And
I'm proud to say that I took you to Tombstone for the first time. That's the first time you'd ever been there.
I had not been there. Right? Yeah.
And you and I walked right into one of my favorite places on earth. We went into the Crystal Palace Saloon, Tombstone. You're listening, Tucson. You're picking us up. Went into the Crystal Palace Saloon and took you to this, you know, one of the most famous legendary streets in American folklore, American Western folklore, Fifth and Allen in Tombstone, Arizona. And it was fantastic. And we got to sit down at the Crystal Palace, and the individual behind the bar was serving up. He said, we weren't talking about some fun stuff. And that's when he turned us on to the old Overholt. I did not know that. I've been to Tombstone 20 times if I've been once over many, many years. I'm looking forward to going back in the near future again. But I did not know that. And then you sent me a photo. You had found it outside of Tombstone somewhere when you got back to Florida, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. You know, I thought it was just bar trivia that they were telling us, and this is the special of the day. We're trying to get rid of this bottle. So yeah, I went. We did some checking on it, and evidently that was it. That was the stuff they drank, and it's been around since, I forget, 1810, 1820. I forget the date,
right.
Something like that. But it's there, and it's evidently the whiskey that was drank back there in Tombstone back in the day.
Well, you know, Thomas Jefferson and George Washington, these guys were master distillers and brewers. So, you know, the history is quite cool. The history of the gun and the history of bourbon tie in together. They really do. And that would be a really cool tale to tell one day, wouldn't it, Mike?
That would be.
Tie that in,
That's a whole other hour. That's a whole more.
That's a book. That'd be something fun to research.
Yeah.
Because there is truly a lot of history there. And I learned a lot about that from that bartender. I had no idea about the old Overhaul, the Doc Holliday connection. And it's one of the oldest distilled whiskeys in American history, that old Overhaul. I haven't been able to find it around here. But, it doesn't have a bad reputation. So I don't know what else to tell you as far as the old Overhaul is concerned. That's all you got is Jim Beam putting it up.
It's a rye whiskey. And you know what? It reminded me of what I look and watch an Old West film, and I think that's what a whiskey tastes like. You taste it, and you got to pause for a moment before you could speak after you taste it. And it's not from being horrible. It's just from being, have some whiskey.
Whiskey.
You know?
Yeah, well, you know, I remember a long time I used to mix my bourbon with Coca-Cola a lot. Whiskey with me. You know, Jack and Coke was, anybody that used to have a Jack Daniels and Coca-Cola a long time ago, and couldn't do that anymore. Can't mix it with the sugary sweet sodas anymore. Maybe it's an age thing. Maybe it's, my palate has matured to the point that I just, to me, that's just not, and I'm not knocking it. I mean, it's a good refreshing drink. It's just not something that I do anymore. Sean, you the same way you said?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest with you. After drinking whiskey and bourbon, I cannot have anything sweet and alcohol related. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, you can do maybe a bourbon and ginger or something like that once in a while. I don't know. I just when I drink bourbon, I just like a glass of bourbon straight up, either neat or on the rocks, and then give it that old Kentucky chew. But that's the way I like it. You enjoy yours however you like it. Mike Pawarski, Arms Room, right? Arms Room. Give us the website real fast.
Yeah, check us out at armsroomradio.com. You can hear us talking about lots of crazy stories and gun things around our all things gun, all the gun time.
Until we meet on the radio tomorrow, we'll let Mike close it out right there. Carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never, ever, ever leave your cave without your club. I'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your day.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
What are you cooking tonight? Yo, what's up? This is AAR Shanto, and as you know, like Mark, I have a passion for our gun rights. I also have a passion for great cooking, and I want to invite you to my new Facebook page. There you will get to see and hear what's new in the culinary world. Just go to facebook.com/trythisdishradio or search for Try This Dish Radio on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/trythisdishradio, and remember, it's all about the food.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.